Howdy, howdy, howdy. How are you? Hey, I want to begin real quick by giving a shout out to everybody who participated in iServe yesterday. We had a great day, two groups of people. One of them went out to a guy named Tommy Macram's house. He's a guy whose house burned down right around Christmas time. He had no insurance. So we went out there yesterday, cleaned up, moved around a lot of stuff, and began cleaning up, and just had a great time, met a great guy, neat guy, a lot of fun. About 10 or 12 of us did that, and then we also gave him a check for over $1,000 that you gave to him a couple weeks ago, and we delivered that to him yesterday. He was humbled. He was appreciative. It was a great day for that. Yeah. And then another group of you, about 10 to, well, I think there was about 15, went into the neighborhoods. I think they went to Bennington Place, Bent Creek, Stonebrook, and you'll see the cards out there. Just told everybody we're starting the Nolensville Food Pantry. Not a Providence food pantry. This is the Nolensville food pantry. And so we pass that out and let everybody see what we're trying to do there for those who come into hardship. We'll be publicizing this a little bit more, getting the word out there. It was in the Dispatch, Nolensville Dispatch, this past week. But something we'll really be launching in April. But yesterday we took up almost 300 pounds of non-perishable food items. So again, just a great day for iServe. So that was really incarnating ourselves, showing our community the love of Christ. And that's what we've been talking about for a year now. We've been talking about organic church. And so let's do just that. Open up to Acts chapter 28, verse 28. It's good to be back. Had a good time in Colorado. It's always good to come home. So it's good to be back. Acts 28, 28. Last year, we actually started Organic Church, this series, on April 26th last year. So it's almost been a year. And we began the series by talking about one like key phrase that kind of became like a little catchword for us for a while. And it was to keep the main things the main things. To keep the main things the main things. And we have to work hard at that. We have to work hard to major on the majors, not get caught up in the minors. To keep the main things the main things. What is the main thing? God's glory, His gospel. Put it this way. The Bible. Okay, we've 66 books, right? This is not 66 different stories. It's not 66 different morality tales. The Bible has one central story, one central theme, and that is God reconciling all things to Himself. God working to reconcile all things to Himself. In the beginning, God created. He created everything, created an awesome world, good world. We, people, we were the crowning jewel of that creation. That's what He says about us. It was good every day, and then on the sixth day, He created man, and all of a sudden, it's very good. Okay? But then what did we do? So, you know, we think, woohoo, we're good. And then what do? No thanks. I'm going to reject you. Don't want that. And that breaks everything. It fractures everything. So there's this broken world now. Sin enters the world. Death enters the world. Sadness enters the world. Disease, hardship, difficulty, storms, all this enters the world then because of sin. We chose that. We chose to do that. And then God, the whole rest of the Bible, what He's doing? The whole rest of history, He's working to reconcile all things. Colossians 1 puts it like this, reconciling all things, whether on heaven or in earth, back to Himself. So that's the story of the Bible. That's the main thing, and it all hinges on the gospel. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, His substitutionary life, death, burial, resurrection for my sin, your sin, in my place, paying my penalty for sin, rising again in victory on that, over that, going, ascending into heaven, and being exalted at the right hand of God. Okay, so that's kind of the framework, and we've talked through this organic church, what it looks like, what is the church, what does it look like, and tracking the development of the church from Acts 1 all the way to Acts 28, and now we come to the end, Acts 28, read verse 28 with me. I'm going to try to give us two things today. Normally I would just throw them at you right now, but I want us to discover them as we walk through, so you have to stay with me and you can't just check out right now. So stay with me for a few minutes and hopefully we'll discover them together. Verse 28, therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen. Father, as we finish this series today, we've been at for 11 months now, Would just work a little bit today, we'd ask, in us, not in, I wish so-and-so could hear this. Work in me. Let us, Holy Spirit, apply it to our lives and press on us and prod us, convict us. Let us see you in your splendor. Let us see you for who you are. Find our joy and our satisfaction in you, not as the giver of gifts, but in you, in who you are, satisfied in that. So God, just work in me, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, read that again with me. I want us to see something. Therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen. And then it goes back and it talks about Paul a little bit. He says, he lived there 2 whole years at his own expense, welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. And then the book just ends. So it's been tracking this development of Paul, talking about Paul, all this, and then it's going along and it's just going, and it just stops. He's living there and everything's going good. You know, he's in jail, but he's under house arrest. And he can talk about Jesus with all boldness and hindrance, and then boom, over. And it just ends. And so as a reader, I'm reading this and I'm like, there's no summary. Like, why don't you summarize what's going on? It's the end of the book. So why is there not a summary? The book just ends. And so I'm reading this. I'm like, okay, this is Acts 28. Where is Acts 29? And I'm not talking about the church planting network. I'm talking about the book. Where's the chapter? There should be like an Acts 29 in here. Why is there no Acts 29? Because we're Acts 29. Followers of Christ are Acts 29. Metaphorically speaking, we're completing the book. There's a mission to complete. We are that. All followers of Christ, from his first advent to when he comes again, that time frame, we're carrying out, we're completing the mission he's left for us to do, finishing the work. So that's my first point, really, metaphorically speaking. Complete the book. We need to complete the book of Acts. Not that we're going to add words to Scripture, that's anathema. But metaphorically speaking, finish the job, finish the drill, complete the book, complete the mission. Therefore, let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen. That's our job, to complete this mission, to finish it. We kind of put our own trappings on it like this, and we say our mission here at PBF, I think that's our mission statement, our purpose statement one, is to worship and enjoy God and lead others to do the same. Okay, worship God. We worship Him. We extol Him. We glorify Him. We find everything in God, our enjoyment. Okay, God's not just like up there and I'm a puppet or I'm a robot or I'm going to try to work hard to please you type deal. We get to enjoy God. We get to enjoy, have a relationship with deity, creator. So worship and enjoy God and lead others to do the same. Jesus put it like this in the 2 GCs. Okay, number one, great commandment, GC. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then the other GC, the Great Commission. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you even to the ends of the earth. Okay, so what I want us to try to see real quick when we're talking about completing the book of Acts is that there is an excitement here because God is doing something. He is at work. He John read Acts 1:8 a minute ago. You can flip there if you want to. Acts 1:8. And it talks about you will be my disciples. You know, he's like, don't worry about these end time things. Don't worry about that. Let's focus on the main things. You're to be my disciples in Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so the whole rest of the book of Acts, we've been seeing that being fulfilled. What Jesus said in Acts 1:8, the whole rest of the book of Acts is talking about fulfilling it. Chapters 1 through 7, remember, the gospel is going forth through Jerusalem. Chapters 8 through 12, the gospel is going forth through Judea and Samaria. Chapters 13 through 28, it's going to the ends of the earth, just like Jesus said it would. It's happened. It's been fulfilled. Now we come to Acts 28, 28. And this time frame that we're living in, this Acts 29 time frame, where we're finishing what God has left for us to do, and this is being fulfilled. Acts 1:8, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, ends of the earth. That has happened. Now this, therefore let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen. Let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen. And they are. They are listening. The fulfillment is happening. It is happening all around us. All that God has promised. Even if you just look at the book of Psalms, you will see over and over and over, for the glory of God and the joy of all peoples. I'm doing this to the nations, over and over and over. This is happening. The story of the Bible, God reconciling all things to Himself, it's happening. And it's happening now in our lifetimes. It's happening. God is reconciling all things to Himself. That's the story of the Bible. God's reconciling all things to Himself. That's the story of Acts. God's reconciling all things to Himself. That's the story of history, which, and I don't know why Michael Jackson ripped it off and said his story, because it's His story. It's happening. He's fulfilling it. He's bringing these things to pass. Every continent except North America, Christianity is growing. On the face of the earth, every continent except North America. Somebody says, what about Europe? And that's just a big secular thing. And that's been like the, you guys play Rook? Anybody play Rook here? Or ever played Rook? You got your trump card, you know? And so the atheists, their trump card is like, boom, North America is going to be just like Europe. Everybody's going to be secular. And it's going to advance. You know, we're going to evolve. And we're going to be technologically savvy and self-sufficient. We don't need God. And so that's what's coming. That's what North America is going to look like, just like Europe. But the problem is, Europe didn't stay there very long. Europe is flowing back to the church, especially the young people. Maybe not the boomer generation in the 40s and 50s, but 20-somethings are flocking back to the church. Flocking back to the church. Think about it like this also. Just when we think about Christianity and what God's doing, how He's fulfilling this. Islam. When you think, this is an audible time here, where is the center of maybe like the population, the majority of Islam? Where's that? Middle East. Where did Islam begin? Middle East, okay? Hinduism. Where's like the main place for Hinduism? India. Where did Hinduism begin? India area, Central Asia. Buddhism. Where's the main place for Buddhism? Yeah, Southeast Asia. Where did Buddhism begin? Southeast Asia, Christianity. Where did Christianity begin? A bunch of Jews in Jerusalem. And then what happened? It went to the Mediterranean. And then what happened? Those barbaric tribes, Germanic peoples, Druids, Celts in like Ireland. I mean, we just celebrated St. Patrick's Day. St. Patty took the gospel to the Celts. Horribly pagan people. If you read about it, you're going to blush what they were into. You're going to be in disbelief. And it spread to Western Europe. And then, boom, came over to North America. It's for the nations. And where is Christianity flourishing today? China. South America. Africa. Very soon, within my lifetime, probably within most of your lifetimes, the center for Christianity no longer is going to be the West. It's going to be the South and the Eastern hemispheres. If what happened in South Korea happens in China, and it looks like it's going to, then probably within my lifetime there's going to be 400 million Christians in China. What God said is going to happen is happening. It's happening. And here's the crazy, I mean, you see it in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, Esther, or Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalm, Proverbs, we can keep going, Ecclesiastes, everywhere what God says is going to happen, happens. And the crazy thing is, we get to be a part of it. He says, we get to play. We're in the game. I used to love playing dodgeball, gym like this. And I loved it when, you know, if I wasn't the captain that got selected somehow, and they're going to call out people and be like, all right, I want you on my team, I want you on my team, I want you on my team, whatever. It's great when you get picked. God's picked us to be part of this, to play in the game, to participate. It's a privilege. There's a responsibility, but there's a privilege. God says, I want you to help. You are my ambassadors. I want to work through you. And so he's put us in this, to do this, to work in this global, eternal work of God. And it begins right here. Right where you work. Right where you live. Right where you eat. Right where you go to the gym. Right where you play ball. Right where you go to school. This eternal, cosmic thing that God's doing, we get to be a part of right here. It's amazing to me. And so we get to, the question though is, are we? We get to complete the mission, complete the book, but are we? Are we, and you got to listen close here, are we a part of what God is doing, or are we apart from what God is doing? Like, ask yourself that. Am I a part of what God is doing, or am I a part from what God is doing? Who is there that is in your life, that's in my life, that I am intentionally building relationship with to serve them like Jesus did, to love them like Jesus did, and just like Jesus, to seek to see them saved for His glory and for their good, for their benefit? You know, the gospel's not just like, well, we need to do this and get you. It's for their benefit. This is a good thing. Who is there? When was the last time you opened? Now, ask yourself this. I opened my mouth and I shared the gospel with somebody. When was the last time that I used my mouth and I shared the gospel with somebody? And if you can't answer that question, then analyze your life, because we do have a mission to complete. There is this unwritten portion that we're to complete. And even if we fill it with good things, we're still not completing it. But what we can do, this happens in the church all the time. That's why we guard against that here at PBF. Monday night, got this Bible study. Tuesday night, this church is doing something. Wednesday night, prayer meeting. Thursday night, got to go to this. Friday night, got this thing. Saturday night, got this thing. And there's no time for you to ever be out in culture engaging people. We have to make time to be around. Jesus said in Luke 5:31, he says, it's not the sick who need a doctor. Actually, it is. It's not the righteous who need a doctor. I got that backwards. But it's the sick. Okay? And I haven't come to call the righteous to repentance, but sinners. And he says in Luke 19:10, I come to seek and save the lost. You can't seek and save the lost unless you are around the lost. And that's what Jesus did. He was called a glutton. He was called a drunkard. He was called the friend, negatively, you friend of sinners, you. That's what he was called. Jesus was around. He came to seek and save the lost, so he put himself around the lost. And that's what we've been called to do, to complete the book, to complete the mission. So are you, am I, are we friends of sinners? And I hope you are, or you don't have any friends, because we're all sinners, right? But what Jesus is talking about there, the context is those who are outside of Christ. Are you their friend? Or do we look down our noses at them as, you horrific sinner who is below me because you don't live up to the standards of God, you sinner, and I'm going to rejoice because you make me angry. You're going to get yours in the end. Yes, you are. You're going to go to hell. And I know we probably don't ever put it like that, but I know I've had those thoughts before where I'm like, yeah, you'll get it in the end. You're going to get it. That is un-Christian, unbiblical. Okay? Paul says in Chapter 21, I would to God that all would be like me, except for these chains. I mean, that's our mindset, that all would come to Christ. all for God's glory, their good. Be a friend of sinners. Make time to be around those who don't know Christ. It's not the righteous, it's not the healthy who need a doctor. Okay? The church is a launching pad. It's a hospital for sinners, not a museum for saints. So we can come look at ourselves and how pretty we are. It's a hospital for sinners. So complete the mission. We've got this mission. It's an awesome thing. God's fulfilling it, and He wants to use us. Awesome stuff. Amazing stuff. We get to work this cosmic thing. So finish the book. Finish the book. And the second thing I want to talk about is the authority for completing this mission. The authority for completing this mission. We just talked about, and the example really, we just talked about Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And so He incarnated Himself. He left. He was eternally in heaven, okay? You have the Trinity, God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He left the glories of heaven, incarnated Himself, took on flesh, born in a manger, remember that? Lived in a dirty, dusty, sandy Mediterranean place and lived in humility. He's our example for this. Lived in humility. He suffered, right? He was patient. He was understanding. He loved His enemies. He forgave. He served and served and served and served and served. Even when people spit on Him, rejected Him. And then He ultimately went to the cross, dying in our place for our sins so that we could be, what? Reconciled to God. And God's doing this thing. And so Jesus is our example for how to live this out. But here's the deal. He's also our authority for this. And so I want to highlight a few things with this. We're talking mission, completing the mission. We've talked the two GCs, Great Commandment, Great Commission. And I quoted to you the Great Commission a few minutes ago, but actually I misquoted it. And we all do it all the time. I say, what's the Great Commission? And we automatically respond, go therefore make disciples. That's part of the Great Commission. But if you go back to Matthew 28, and you can turn there real quick, the red letter where Jesus starts talking, it starts in verse 18, not just in verse 19. And so I want us to back up and get the rest of the Great Commission. Because the Great Commission is not just about go do this. It's about who is the giver of the Great Commission. Who that is. And even, who is Jesus? How does He have this? And even here in the Great Commission, we get a little snapshot of who Jesus is. Look at verse 18. He's got His 11 disciples around Him. They're up on the mountaintop. They came and they're worshiping Him. But some doubted. I mean, be encouraged. If you struggle with doubt a little bit, that's okay. The disciples here who saw Him crucified, saw Him rise again, they came to worship Him, but some doubted. It's okay to doubt. Question. Because when you doubt and question, you think through. I mean, you think deep on it, and you come out on the other side stronger. Okay, but here's what Jesus says. And Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven on earth has been given to Me. Did you catch that? What Jesus says about Himself? He didn't say, I'm a good teacher. I got some good moral lessons for you. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Me. Okay, there's nothing over which Jesus does not say, that's Mine. All authority has been given to Him. He's not the baby in the manger anymore. He's not the Discovery Channel Jesus who's limp-wristed, feathered-haired, perfect teeth, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, wearing a dress with open-toed sandals and walking around half expecting Him to pull out a wand and some fairy dust and sprinkle it on people. It's not Jesus. Okay, He's not an oppressed Galilean peasant who got beat up. And if that's almost what I got when I was in Sunday school. If you grew up in church, you know, you got the felt board, you put your pictures up, and had the picture of Jesus. And he was like, I mean, he was a pretty dude. Very pretty. I mean, not that, I mean, I'm not, He was a handsome man, okay? But you almost expected any moment for him to reach into that dress he had on, you know, or his man bag, and pull out some fairy dust and sprinkle it on the sheep that were always around him, and sit down, kumbaya. But that's not Jesus. If all you see is the meek and mild side of Jesus, because there is a meek and mild. Yes, he came, he humbled himself. And he is kind, and he is gentle, and he is loving towards us. Absolutely. But if that's all you see, then you don't have a complete picture of Jesus. Because he's also, Steve Smith taught about this past summer, he's also the warrior Messiah in Revelation 19. It's there in your bulletin today. He's also the warrior Messiah. He has all authority. Okay? All authority in where? Heaven and on earth. So he's got all authority in all places at all times. That means he regulates. He's the ruler. He's sovereign. He's in control. No one can lay a fist on Jesus yet. For me and for you, he let people yank his beard out and rip the flesh off of his back and crucify him on a cross. And we see, you go watch the Passion of Christ, you see the bloodiness of all that. You see the pain. That's just the human side. What we don't see is what God was doing in that. Because what did Jesus do? Remember, he bore our sins. Here is holy God. Sinful man does not like sin. It's evil. He's pure. It must be punished. Jesus says, I'll take it for you. Here, have my righteousness. So when God looks at you, he'll see me. And you can be declared not guilty. Not on the basis of anything you've done, but on the basis of what I've done. And I will take your sin for you. And so what we don't see, all we see is the blood. We don't see God pouring out his infinite, eternal wrath against sin on Jesus in the cross. That's why he cries, my God, why have you forsaken me? Quoting Psalm 22. And he did that. For you, your sin, my sin, undeserved. He was perfect. And he sacrificed himself for us out of his love, even when we were dead in our sins and trespasses and spat on him. We would have cried, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him, just like they did. And he did it for you and for me. So Jesus is both the King of grace and he's the King of glory. And so look at Revelation 19. It's in your bulletins or you can flip there in your Bible. He died on the cross, yes, in our place, rose again. But he's not in that position anymore of being tortured and beaten. The next time we see Jesus, what are we going to see? We're going to see him coming on a white horse. And we're going to see his eyes blazing like fire and out of his mouth launching a sword with which to strike down the unrepentant. And he's going to have a white robe and it's going to be dipped in blood. It's going to be splattered with blood, not his, but those that he's coming with the sword. No one's going to lay a hand on him. So Jesus, what I want you to see, this authority we're talking about in the exalted Christ, he's not a little wimpy Jesus. He's like UFC Jesus. Ultimate fighter Jesus. And he went to the cross. I mean, he's UFC Jesus, yet he went to the cross in our place, died for our sins. And then he went UFC on that and defeated death. And defeated hell, and defeated sin, and defeated Satan, defeated all that, rose again, and now has ascended into heaven where he is exalted at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and he is called what? King of kings and Lord of lords. That is who Jesus is. And he's coming again to judge the quick and the dead. And in the meantime, he says, I've got all authority. Go and make disciples in my name. For their good and for my glory. And I want to use you to be part of this thing that I'm doing for the good of the world. Reconciling all things back to myself. and we get to be a part of it. And so Jesus is both our example and He's our authority. And we need to hang on to both of these, example and authority. Because if we go to one or the other, like let's say we just hold on to His exaltation for a minute, then as one guy says, what happens is we become triumphant, arrogant jerks as we're on His mission because we don't act like He did during His incarnation. But if all we do is hold on to His incarnation, then we'll suffer well, we'll serve well, we'll feed people, we'll be tempted, we'll have community with one another, but we will lack the authority to call people to repent based upon the exalted Christ who says, everyone, everywhere, cause them to repent. Acts 17:30. So you got to hang on to both the example and the authority. The example of Jesus in His incarnation, how He served, and the authority of Jesus in His exalted state, return to glory. Hang on to both of those. And so as we finish up, you're going to love me today. I mean, it's 11:07. So as we complete this year-long study of the book of Acts, and I'm really proud of us, we've gone through the longest book in the New Testament. It's not the one that will take us the longest. Wait till we get to Romans in a couple of years. But it's the longest word for word. So I'm really proud of us. We've done a good, it's neat. It's really neat. I'm proud of you guys for being patient. But as we complete this study, let me just exhort you for a minute and just talk to you for a minute. We've been called out by God to be a covenant community. Marked by the gospel, marked by His grace, marked by His goodness, marked by His glory. And that gospel is not to stay locked up. It is a treasure. Oh, it's a treasure. But it's not a treasure in a chest. It's a treasure to be broadcast. So broadcast that treasure. And so let's show the world, and let's show No Onesville, there's a different way of life. Let's show them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's show them the goodness of Jesus Christ. Let's show them the grace of Jesus Christ. Let's show them the glory of Jesus Christ. Let's complete the book. Metaphorically write Acts chapter 29. And let's do so in the example of and the authority of Jesus. And when we do that, that will be keeping the main things the main thing. Let's pray. God, thank You so much for the gospel. Thank You so much for what You do, for how You act, for who You are, for how You love, how You encourage, how You exhort, how You just work in us, in spite of ourselves sometimes. God, you're so good, I can't get my arms around it. And it's frustrating sometimes because I'm like, I want to know how good You are. And just as I start to get like to a new place, I'm like, you're good. Then you expand and you explode that and you said, oh, I'm so much better than you think. Look at this. God, do that in all of us every day. And let us out of that. Not out of duty, I must do this, but out of an amazement with You, serve and seek to introduce people to You who maybe know of You, but don't know You. God, be glorified. We love You. In Jesus' name, amen.